This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Power in our mouth. But today I want to look at something that is very key to the mouth. And I've titled today's message as Your Heart is Key to Your Mouth. Say to your neighbor, your heart is key to your mouth. What that means is that your heart, what is in your heart, what is going on in my heart is key to what comes out of my mouth. Hallelujah. And this is scriptural. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time, and I just pray even right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will help me to bring forth your word and to speak forth what you want me to speak. And I pray that your word will be distilled into the hearts of your people, and that, Lord God Almighty, a hundredfold fruitfulness will come as a result of your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and take preeminence even right now. I pray that no word will fall to the ground. I pray that, Lord, it will touch and penetrate our heart and bring change and bring transformation, oh God, and that, Lord, from this day forward, our lives will truly not be the same again. I pray, Holy Spirit, you have your way, and arrest every soul, oh God, even right now, under the sound of my breath. Take preeminence, take glory, and be lifted up in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our key scriptures today are found in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I'm going to be running through scriptures very quickly because of our time. So you can write them down. You can just mark them in your Bibles. But the first one is Luke chapter 6, verse 45. And this is what it says. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Amen? The Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart and my heart is what we speak. Hallelujah. So, you know, some people say, oh, you know, that's just dropped out of my mouth. No, nothing just drops out of our mouth. Hallelujah. Everything that we speak is as a result of what is on the inside. And this scripture is very clear about that. Another scripture identical is found in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 37. Matthew chapter 12, 33 to 37. And it says this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. In other words, kind of saying, look here, you know, we as a people are known by what comes out of us. And Jesus was speaking to, you know, to the Pharisees and, you know, the Sadducees at that time. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Hallelujah. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Okay, so if our words, okay, if our words is going to attract what we are reading in here, then it means that our hearts need to be right. Hallelujah. How many people agree? Our hearts need to be right, so that we speak forth the right words, so that our words don't end up condemning us, but our words actually end up, you know, bringing justification to us. So our mouths are instruments that just speak forth what is in the heart. It's just an instrument, a tool that just speaks forth. It's the instrument that God uses to vocalize or to bring forth what is in our hearts. So what is the heart? The heart is the center of our being. Okay? The heart is the center of our being. Okay, sometimes we focus on what comes out of a person's mouth, but what needs to be focused on is the heart. Because you see, before you can have power, you know, before you can exercise that power that we have with our mouth to create good things, to do good things, okay, our heart needs to be in a right place. Okay. And the heart is that center of our being. So as I was preparing this, I then realized that we need to give a lot of time to our hearts. Okay. In scripture, the heart is the totality of your intellect, of your emotion, of your desire, and your volition. Your volition is, you know, that part of you that decides what you want to do. Okay, that part of you that decides, you, that part of you that makes decisions. This is what it's going to be like. This is what I am going to do. Okay. And when you look at the heart is actually, it's been defined as a knowledge faculty. And I will explain that. What that means is that our heart is a container of a whole lot of knowledge. There is a lot that resides in the heart, that stays in the heart. And that's why the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, there's so much in there. It's like a well of knowledge that is inside there. And that's why the Bible is saying out of that well, okay, the mouth then speaks. So I'm going to look at a few things. So our heart is a container of a whole lot of knowledge. For example, people know things in their hearts. Deuteronomy 8:5. I'm just going to mention the scriptures. We pray in our hearts. You can only pray because there is something in there. Okay? We pray in our hearts. 1 Samuel 1 verse 12 to 13. These are just scriptural references. We meditate in our hearts. Hallelujah. Psalm 19 verse 14. We hide God's word in our hearts. This is just the hearts alone. Okay? We keep words in our hearts. We think in our hearts. We doubt in our hearts. Okay? We ponder over things in the heart. Luke 2 verse 19. The Bible says that, you know, Elizabeth pondered over what had been spoken to her. We believe in our hearts. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. We sing in our hearts. Okay? Ephesians 5:19. All of these actions of the heart are primarily issues involving our inner knowing. So they have to do with what is on the inside. What we know on the inside. So we meditate upon what we know. Hallelujah. The doubt that comes from our heart is based on what we know, what is on the inside. Hallelujah. Also, the heart is a center of feeling. Okay? The heart is a center of feeling. So the Bible speaks about a glad heart. Okay? Exodus 4:14. It talks about the loving heart. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It talks about the fearful heart. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. It talks about the courageous heart. Psalm 27, verse 14. The repentant heart. Hallelujah. Psalm 51, verse 17. The anxious heart. All of this, all in the heart. The anxious heart. Proverbs 12, 25. The angry heart. The revived heart. Isaiah 57, 15. The anguished heart. Sometimes your heart is full of anguish. Jeremiah 14, verse 19. The delighted heart. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. The grieving heart. Sometimes your heart is grieving. Lamentations 2, verse 18. The humble heart. This can be emailed to anybody who wants it, you know, because I know there's a lot of scriptures. So if you do want this, I can get this emailed to you so that you can take the scriptures. So the humble heart, Matthew 11 verse 29. The excited or the burning heart, Luke 24, 32. And the troubled heart. So all these actions of the heart involve our inner feelings. Okay? And then finally, the heart is also the center of volitional activity. So in the Bible, we read about the hardened heart. You know, you can choose to harden your own heart. That's what I mean about volitional has to do with you making a decision. Okay. Sister Sonia was, you know, sharing with us last Sunday, I think it was, you know, about somebody that she knows that has decided she will not forgive another person. So much so, I think it was her mom. And because of that, she did not go to our mom's funeral because she had hardened her own heart. This is not, you know, she hardened her own heart and refuses. So in the Bible, we read about the hardened heart that refuses to do what God commands in Exodus 4:21. The heart that is yielded to God. So you can also choose to yield your heart to God. Joshua 24:23. The heart that intends to do something. So with our heart, we intend. We make a decision that we want to do something. Okay. The heart that decides to do something. 2 Chronicles 6 verse 7. The heart that is devoted to seeking the Lord. And the heart that desires to receive from the Lord. There is also the heart that is turned towards God's statutes. We can choose to turn our hearts towards God's statutes. And the heart that wants to do something. Okay. You know, we can choose, we can, in us, there can be that wanting and that desire to do something. So all of these activities of the heart take place through our human will. This has to do with our human will. So you see that the heart covers a whole lot of areas. And the Bible says that because of that, you know, it's what is on the inside of us that will produce what we speak. So, like I said, a lot takes place in the heart, which then produces what we speak with our mouths. Needless to say, if your heart is filled with love and compassion, your mouth will speak forth words of love and compassion. You know, this is, you know, this challenged me even as I was preparing this. If your heart is filled with the peace of God, your mouth will bring forth words of peace. If your heart is full of faith, your mouth will bring forth faith-filled words. Sometimes you see some people and you think, oh, why is, every time they're speaking, it's always faith, 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 faith. They're speaking out of the abundance of what is inside. And we might look at them and say, oh, let them get real. Let them, you know, let's face the facts. Let's do this. But what is on the inside is what's going to come out. Jesus, it's clear. The scripture says it. If your heart is full of joy, your mouth will bring forth words that express joy. As we were worshiping this morning and praising, there were people amongst us whose hearts, you could see it. I could hear it even when I was closing my heart. There were some people where their hearts, you could see that their hearts were bursting with joy and gratitude to God. And therefore, they vocalized that in the way that they worshipped and they praised God. You know, the Bible says, what we don't have, we cannot give. What is not on the inside cannot come forth. Okay? So if your heart is full of joy, your mouth will speak words that express joy. Your mouth will bring forth life. And do you know what that does? That just brings encouragement. So when your heart is filled with peace and you speak forth words of peace, what does it do to others? It brings encouragement. It brings faith. It, you know, it strengthens them. Hallelujah. And you please God in the midst of all of that. On the other hand, if your heart is filled with anger or doubt or fear or unforgiveness, or bitterness, surely, surely, your mouth, my mouth, will speak words of anger. They will speak forth words of doubt. They will speak forth words of fear. They will speak forth words that show that there is unforgiveness in our hearts. They will speak forth words of bitterness. And guess what that does? That will pollute somebody else. It will defile somebody else. You know, just even look at the words that we have been hearing with you know, in the media, you know. Just If we're going to be honest, what has that been doing to us? Fear? Yes. Confusion? Panic? Yes, panic. You know? Yeah. Because words have been spewed out. But you see, for the world, you don't expect any better. When people say, oh, the media, they just like negative news. What? That, yeah, they're the world. They're the world. So why do we expect, if Christian media is doing the same, then there's a problem. But when the secular media is doing that, they are the world. They, from the abundance of their hearts, they are speaking. Does that mean that the media is not bringing forth certain facts, you know, in the midst of all of this? Yes, but a lot of it also is creating panic, is creating fear. You know, and God is saying, reminding us, there's power in your mouth. And so if we are going to have the right things coming out of our mouth to bring life, to create life, then we have to deal with our hearts. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 15, verse 18 to 20. He says, just to buttress what I just said about if your heart is full of unforgiveness and fear and all of that, that's what's going to comfort. Matthew 15, 18 to 20 says this. It says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. I like it when the scripture is so clear like this. There is no ambiguity. There is no confusion. Okay. He says, but those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. That is the negative things. Just as when the right things come out, they can build up a man. They can strengthen a man. They can propel a man to the next level. They can bring about spiritual maturity and growth in the life of a person. They can cause them to take the next step that they are supposed to take in life. I remember many, many years ago, before we bought our house, this was many, many, many years ago, and we were in council property, and we were looking for the council to move us. So we went to view, I don't know if Pastor can remember, we went to view this property. You know, we were, I think, in a two-bedroom, and we were looking for like a three-bedroom. So we went to go and view this property. And when we, you know, for us, in our own hearts, it was like, wow, just to even get a bigger council flat. That was like having a mansion in those days. I'm talking, many people can't remember, you know, but this was many, many, many years ago. And we went, and this gentleman, you know, I don't know if, did you ring him? Yes, he met us. We went to view it, and it wasn't the best, you know, but we just thought, okay, at least it's the next level up, it's bigger, you know. And with just a few words, he said, why are you wanting to, you know, why do you want to take this kind of place, you know? Not in a condemnatory, he just said a few words. And those words were life. And it changed our mindset completely. Completely. He was not even a preacher. He's a pharmacist. He just said those words. And God used those words to change something. So the power of our words. But within his heart, he knew that there was greater potential for us than what we were looking at. And what we were convinced was what God wanted for us. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants to do with each one of us. So in verse 19, it says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. This is the capacity and the potential of the heart. And this is why we have to look after our heart. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. Before somebody ever murdered somebody, it's gone on in the heart. It's been processed. It's been embraced. It's been, you know, loved on, if I can say it like that. Adultery. people don't just commit adultery. Somebody says, oh, it's because my wife did this, because of my husband. No. No. This is something that has been formed. It's been formed on the heart. Fornications, thefts. People don't just steal. They don't just steal. A thought, which is, you know, in the heart. And then you begin to think, okay, you know, if I do this, nobody will know, I'll quickly put the money back. It all starts from the heart. False witness, blasphemies. How do you blaspheme? With your mouth. But it starts from the inside. It says, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Do you know when I read this, I thought of coronavirus. Oh my goodness. I said, wow, this Bible is so relevant. I tell you. But please do wash your hands, okay? What God is saying, because you see, this same Bible says that we will, if we believe, we'll take poison, you know, and it will not poison and it will not harm us. The Bible actually says that. The Bible is so relevant. I love it. So he says, Jesus, so I don't know whether Jesus is just laughing at all of us, like, you know. So he says, these are the things which defile a man. He says, the things that are inside, our sins, all these sins. All these sins, all these things on the inside, all these murders, you know, all these things that are going on, that then we then begin to practicalize, because it starts from the heart, then we carry it out. You understand? He says, these are the things that defile, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Amen? So God's will for us is to use our mouth correctly, to speak life at all times. He wants us with our mouths to bring life, into our lives. Do you know that when you speak the right thing about yourself, about your own self, you're creating life. You're creating the life of God for your own self. Talk less of other people. You know, when I was preparing, I'm thinking, wow. So when I'm speaking the right thing, I'm doing, there's something happening in the spirit realm consigning me. Pastor and I, we do this thing. So if he wants to start going negative, I'm like, you know, that's what we do in the house now, power in your mouth. If I am going negative, so we all need somebody. We all need someone, you know, to really put us in check. Okay. So our mouths are to bring life into our own lives and into the lives of others, into our homes and into our community. Okay, that's what God wants our mouths to do. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. Death and life is in your mouth, is in my mouth. Death and life. And in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And God is saying to us in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I beg of you, choose life. Choose life. When you choose life, not only will you benefit, your descendants, your children, your children's children will benefit. So, but before we can speak life and use our mouth correctly as God wants, our hearts need to be right with God. Our hearts need to be clean. Our hearts need to be clean. King David in the book of Psalms in chapter 51, verse 10. Psalms chapter 51 verse 10 said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit within me. So what is the first thing that needs to happen for our hearts to be clean so that we can begin to speak forth the right words that produce and create life all around us. The first thing that needs to happen is that we need to be regenerated. We need regeneration. Generation is a matter of the heart. Regeneration is the recreating of spiritual life or God's life in the human heart by the Holy Spirit. It's creating, recreating God's life, recreating the spiritual life in the human heart. You see, the human heart is where all those things come from. But God, by His Spirit, wants to regenerate every human being so that their human heart becomes a changed heart. Through this process, eternal life from God Himself is imparted into your heart, and you become a child of God and a new creation in Christ Jesus. You no longer conform to this world. When that happens, when you become regenerated from the inside, you don't conform to the world anymore. You are a new man, you are a new woman, you are created by God in righteousness and in true holiness. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I've gone past the days where I believe everybody sitting down here, everybody that comes to church every Sunday is regenerated. Because a lot of people, you know, just raise their hands, you know, to say a prayer, but they have not been regenerated on the inside. Regeneration is necessary because each one of us, prior to turning to Christ, were sinners with a nature that was sinful. We were spiritually dead. And if you don't know Him today, you are spiritually dead and you are incapable of obeying and pleasing Him. But regeneration comes when we repent of our sins, when we turn to God, and when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord and Savior. That's how we obtain a clean heart. So the first thing is that we repent of our sins. Not only do we repent of our sins, we turn to God, we place our faith in Jesus Christ, and we confess Him. And then we obtain a new heart. It's amazing that to do this, the first thing that you have to do is to believe in your heart. You know, you cannot be regenerated if you first of all don't believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe in your heart. Your heart has to believe in Jesus first, that He is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, that He lived, that He died on the cross for your sins and for my sin, that He resurrected on the third day. It's only after that you believe that and you repent and you put your faith in Jesus Christ that you then confess with your mouth that He is Lord over your life. Do you see the correlation? The heart. Everything goes back to the heart. If you don't believe in your heart, that's why people can just say a prayer. But if they don't believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord, if they don't truly believe and repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ, then there is no regeneration. And therefore, they can't have a clean heart and a right heart. And therefore, they won't be able to speak for the right words. So, but what you say to me, yes, I'm regenerated. Once you have been regenerated, you obtain a clean heart. Your speech changes. You begin to speak life because Christ now dwells in you. But it doesn't stop there. And for many of us today, this is where we will be. It doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit now lives in you and He wants you to maintain that clean heart at all times so that your mouth can speak the right things and produce the life of God and the will of God in you, in others, and in situations and circumstances. So you must, because of that, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We need to cooperate. If we are regenerated here today, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that we can maintain a clean heart, a pure heart, a right heart, so that our words can be the right words. So the first thing that you must do, number one, you must allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with new attitudes and new motives. Then your speech will be right. Last month, we looked at the beautiful attitudes. It's the Holy Spirit that we must allow to work those beautiful attitudes in us. It's the Holy Spirit that we must allow to be to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. In us, to create that in our hearts, to create the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, so that when we speak, we will be speaking the right words. The second thing that we have to do to maintain this is hide God's word in your heart. Hide God in this season of coronavirus, hide God's word in your heart. There is so much news bombarding our minds and bombarding our hearts. Hide, hide. You know, play the Bible on tape. Read the Bible. Memorize scriptures. Meditate upon them. When you read it, ponder over it. Close your eyes. Think about the word. Let it settle in you. Hide it in your heart. Hide it. Hide it. Hide it. Hide it. If your phone is going to distract you, my phone distract me, for crying out loud, get the paper Bible and put it before you. Hallelujah. I'm quite strong about it. Because the word, when I get into my home, I have to kind of now stop myself from listening. Because, you see, the voice of the enemy and the voice of the world is very, very loud. The voice of the Holy Spirit is very gentle. It's soft. So, hide God's word in your heart. Make sure God's word dwells in you richly. Psalm 119 verse 11, it says that we should hide his word in our hearts. Colossians chapter 3, 16 says we should let God's word dwell in us richly. Do you want your heart to remain clean? God's word. Thirdly, pray about your heart. Pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Psalm 19 verse 14 talks about, you know, the words of our mouth and the meditation. It was a prayer that the meditation of our heart will be acceptable. So pray. Ask God. Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you. Let the words of my mouth be the right words. Hallelujah. Matthew 26 verse 41 tells us to watch and pray, lest we do not fall into temptation. Number four, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Look after your heart. Care for your heart. Do not just allow anything into your heart. When I was thinking about this, I thought about a security guard. What do security guards do? What do security guards do? They guard. They watch. Okay? They look after. Okay? You know, my brother back in Nigeria lives in an estate, which is, and to actually get into that estate, it's like going into Downing Street or what's the one in America? White House. To get in there, the security is so tight. You know? Because they don't want, you know, they don't want the wrong people to come in. You don't want the wrong, and that's what it means to guard. So that which shouldn't get into our heart has no place to get. So we need to be security guards around our hearts. Okay. And fifthly, fix your eyes on Jesus, not on a man. Not on situations, not on circumstances. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, you know, that we should look unto Jesus, the author and the faith. So whatever is happening, you see, when your heart is on Jesus, that will guard what will be in your heart. You see, because if you're thinking of Jesus and your heart is on him, you can't be having other stuff in there. So finally, in closing, I'm just going to quickly run through these practical ways to guard your heart. Our time is completely out. These are practical guides, practical ways that every one of us here can put into practice. Be careful what you look at and what you see. Be careful. Be careful. I need to be careful. What do you look at? What do you gaze at? In secret, when you're at home, when nobody is there, what do I look at? What do I see? Be careful. You know, the scriptures are clear about that. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Matthew 6:22-23. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. Matthew 5:29. Psalm 101:3. I will set no vile thing before my eyes. Psalm 119:37. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. This is all in the Bible. I'm not just saying it. It's all in the Bible. Hallelujah. Be careful what you look at. What do you look at? On your phone, wherever you are, what are you looking at? Number two, be careful of what you listen to. Be careful of what you listen to. Do you know that there are some music, you know, and I'm not going to be ashamed to say that I speak to my youngest daughter about this, about secular music and certain kind of music, you know, because they are, you know, our ears are gateways. And you see, what goes in there would then go in here, into the heart. So be careful of what you listen to. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Number three, be careful of who your closest friends are and those you mix with. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the company of fools will suffer harm. Choose your friends carefully. It's not everybody that's going to be your closest friend. Let your closest friends be godly people. Godly, God-fearing people. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Just the Bible says it. Bad company will corrupt you and it will corrupt your heart. And then you will begin to speak like that person that you associate with. And then finally, consciously choose to think on the right things. Consciously choose. It's a battle. It's a daily walk. You have to, sometimes you have to say to your mind, shut up. You have to, you know, pull down that vain imagination, that thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. You have to do it. In Philippians 4:8, and this is our final scripture, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Let those things be the things that we think about. Because when we think about the right things, we will speak the right things. Keep your heart right so that your mouth can always be a key of life and an instrument of blessing and breakthrough. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we know that, Lord, all of this is not possible by power or by might. It's only by your spirit. But Father, today we consciously come before you and we say, Lord God Almighty, we want, oh God, our hearts to be right before you. We want our hearts to be pure. We want our hearts to be cleansed, oh God. We want, oh God, to have the right kind of heart. We do not want our hearts to be hardened. We want our hearts to be softened in your hands, oh God. We want our hearts to be filled with the right things, oh God. And so, Holy Spirit, we bring our hearts before you this afternoon. And we ask, oh God, just like the psalmist asked, oh God, that you will cleanse our hearts. You will create in us a clean heart, oh God. And you will renew a right spirit within us, O God. We ask, O God, that Lord God Almighty, you will wash our hearts by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And remove every filth, O God. Remove every junk. Remove everything, O God, that does not bring you glory. Even right now, we cry out to you, O God. That Lord, you will wash our hearts, O God. Wash us clean, O God. Wash us by your power. Wash us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And make us, O God, white as snow. Cleanse us, O God, and wash us. That from this day forward, we begin to speak the right words. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.